quick check-in. How many of you all have ever received something that you didn't deserve based on who you knew? There's more of you all. I know it. Maybe you've gotten out of a speeding ticket because you knew a cop, right? Anytime I get one, I'm like, who do I know? Who do I know? Who do I know? Right? Or maybe you got like a job promotion or a pay raise or just a job in general because you knew somebody, right? Sometimes there's power in who you know, right? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today as we enter into week three of our study of the book of Philippians. And what we're doing, if you haven't been here, or if this is your first time, welcome. But what we're doing is we're working through this incredible book, right? This book in the New Testament, a letter written by Paul to the church at Philippi. And we're going chapter by chapter, and we're kind of looking at what Paul has to say to the church in Philippi, but also what he has to say about us and how we can actually apply this to our lives now. And my hope and prayer throughout this series is that it'll be an encouragement to you, right? That's one of the main reasons why Paul wrote this letter, was to encourage us. And it doesn't matter what season of life you're in, he wrote it to encourage you. And we see that all through this book. And so again, that's my hope and prayer is that at the end of this, that you would not only just hear me talk, but you'd be going home and working through this book. It's only four chapters. You can do it, right? But working through this book and allowing God to use it to encourage you. Because that's what it's here for. And specifically, that would help you to find joy. See, this book, this letter that Paul wrote is different than a lot of the other letters he wrote to churches. Because many times when he would write a letter, he was writing it to correct an issue that they had, right? If there was, or there was some type of attack on the church, and so he wrote it to correct things. But in this one, it doesn't really have like this central theme of correcting anything, other than it's just kind of this collection of works to encourage people, specifically as it relates to joy. Even when joy doesn't make sense. We saw that in chapter one. I mean, Paul wrote this. A little background is that Paul, you know, he would go on these missionary journeys. That was part of his mission. That was his life purpose. Once he had this incredible encounter with Jesus, his life purpose was to go and share the gospel and start churches. So on his second trip, he stopped in Philippi. There was very heavily Roman influenced city. There wasn't any synagogues. So he found a group of women that would meet to pray. And so through teaching them about Jesus, they became believers. And then they found a demon-possessed woman, casted the demons out of her, and then she joined. And then there were some prison guards that they had an encounter with that he and his entire family accepted Jesus. And the next thing you know, you have the church. A rather interesting group, right? Women who were disrespected and belittled during that time period. A demon-possessed woman. And a Roman prison guard. That's an interesting little startup church there. But that's what they did. So he started this church, then he left. And then he found himself in prison yet again. I've said it every week. The dude had a rap sheet a mile long. And it was all because he was sharing the gospel. He was that dedicated to his mission. So he is in prison around AD 60. And he writes this letter to the church at Philippi. Because they were concerned about him. So he wrote this letter just to encourage them. And in chapter one, we saw what makes no sense at all is that he wrote to encourage them to have joy in the struggle. The dude's in prison, potentially waiting execution, and he's writing to them about you can have joy. That he had joy. Then in chapter two, we see that he talks about humility. That if we're going to live like Jesus, if our lives are going to be a living expression of Jesus' life, we have to be humble. There needs to be unity. But you can have unity without humility. And you can't be a Christ follower without living out the life of Jesus, which includes humility. And that you can have joy in humility. So that's what we've covered so far in this series, and it's, and I hope it's been an encouragement to you, because it's incredible that we can actually have joy no matter what. But it's only because of Jesus. It's only because he radically stepped in the story and transformed our lives. That's how you can have joy in the struggle. And that's how you can actually have joy in being humble, in being a servant. We can have joy in humility. And so today, we're moving into chapter 3. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to focus in, like, this chapter is phenomenal. I was telling the team earlier this morning, like, I really struggled this week to put things together because there is so much in this chapter. It's incredible. And so what Paul does in this, and that's why I think I like it, he kind of takes the Philippians on this journey. Like, it's the entire gospel faith message, like what it's really all about, wrapped into these 22 verses. And so what he's doing is he's showing us that there's joy in knowing. Like I said when we first started off, I have found a lot of joy in times in knowing the right people. I know there's, I can always think of, there's several concerts that I've been to that I've gotten the backstage access just because I knew people, which was pretty awesome. Not because of me, not because I knew the band, just because I knew someone that did. I knew people. There's joy in knowing. And that's what we see Paul talking about in chapter 3. And he really kicks things off. This journey that he's taking the Philippians on through this chapter starts off with what I think is incredible. It's the fundamentals. The fundamentals of faith right out the gate. And he's open and honest about the fact that sometimes he's a little repetitive. He says this in verse 1. He says, "Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same thing to you again. It is a safeguard for you." What he's kind of saying is, hey, I know you've heard this before. I've taught it to you. You probably teach it to each other and to other people, but I'm going to teach it to you and share it with you again because the fundamentals are important. The fundamentals are everything when it comes to anything. With our faith, but take outside of our faith. You know, I always think, when I think fundamentals, I grew up playing sports, and I always think about sports. Professional athletes constantly go over the fundamentals. These men and women are out there making millions. But watch an NBA basketball game. What do? Before the game starts, they're doing layup lines. Stuff that I did, like in kindergarten. It's one of the first things you learn is to go do a layup line. And NBA players are still doing that. Baseball players still fielding little grounders. Professional baseball players hitting off tees to practice their hitting. Golfers chipping and putting. Dancers working on their position work. I had to throw that in there, right? Dance dad. I mean, fundamentals are critical in being successful. And that's why Paul's like, hey, I'm okay with repeating the same thing over and over and over to you because the fundamentals matter. It is a safeguard for you. It keeps you in check. So what are these fundamentals? He jumps right into verse 2. Watch out for those dogs. This is why I like Paul. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. The fundamentals, when you break it down, is what we read in Galatians, what we read in Ephesians. What Paul was always preaching about was that our salvation, right, our relationship with Jesus, our eternal security has nothing to do about our good works, about fulfilling the law, about being religious. None of that matters. What matters is whether or not you have a connected relationship with Jesus. What matters is that you understand that the only reason that you're saved is by grace through faith in Jesus, period, the end. That's the fundamentals. And that's why he says, I'm okay with telling you this over and over and over again. He's driving this point home. And the people listened to him. It was really powerful when he shared this, because he goes on to say, go ahead and look at verse 4 through 6. I'll go ahead and read it. It says, though I myself, he's talking about him, you know, Paul's writing this, I myself have such confidence. See, he's saying I could have confidence in the flesh. He said, for someone else thinks that they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Then he goes through like his spiritual like resume, right? I was circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regards to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. He said, hey, I lived the life. I was super religious. When it came to the law and religion, I was the goat. That's what he's saying. If you don't know what that is, look it up. Greatest of all time. That's what he's telling them. He's like, so if someone could have confidence in the flesh, it's me. But he said, but that doesn't matter. What matters is Jesus. That's the only thing that matters. And then, again, one of the reasons I love Paul is he gets a little controversial in how he explains this. He wants to really drive this home and grab their attention. Verse 7, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of what, right? He says, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. All that doesn't matter. What matters is who I know. What matters is knowing Christ. For whose sake I've lost all things. And check this out. He said, I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and find and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes by from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. He says, everything, all the good things that I've done, my spiritual and religious resume, everything, it's worthless. It's pointless when it compared to knowing God. He says, it's garbage. And I think the word, when they translated this word in Greek, it's skubalon, which they translate as garbage. I think they were just a little fearful to translate it as it really is, which it really is. If you take it, the literal translation, it's kind of the most graphic form of human excrement. That's the language he used. So for sake of not offending certain people, we'll just say it's crap. I don't know if everyone's ready for me to say anything else. But he's saying, everything that I've accomplished, all of my good works, compared to knowing Christ, bro, it's crap. It's nothing. Doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is knowing Christ Jesus by grace through faith. That's the fundamental. That is what's important. He grabbed their attention. I'm sure they woke up when he wrote that. He's cursing in here. That's what it was. Some people don't want to hear that. They don't like that, but it's what he's doing. He's saying it's crap. It's nothing. It's the worst. It's the grossest. Doesn't matter compared to knowing Christ. Hear me clearly this morning. We are not talking about, when we say knowing, we're not talking about just knowing about Jesus. That's not what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about really knowing Jesus. So my question for you this morning is, do you know Jesus? Or do you know Jesus? Because there's a big difference between those two. This is why sometimes people say the English language is one of the hardest languages to learn. Because there's different meanings for the same word, like galore. But you can know somebody, but then you can really know somebody. And we're talking about the really know. Deeply, intimately, you know Jesus. You see, it's only really knowing him that we receive peace. It's in really deeply knowing him that we're set free. In knowing him, we have hope. And the beautiful thing is in knowing him, there's joy. Joy when it doesn't make sense. Joy when people look on, they're like, what in the world is going on? You're going through a mess, but you're still happy. You're still smiling. You're still positive. Why? Because I know Jesus. Not a surface level, but you really know them deep down. That's where the purest and most powerful form of joy comes, from knowing Jesus. I think about it like, there's people that I know, and I'll be honest, there's people that I fringely know that might be somewhat famous. And I'll tell people, yeah, I know them. But I don't really know them. Sure, if I saw them on the street, I'd say, hey, and they'd be like, oh, hey, what's up? And they would recognize me and they know me. I grew up with a guy, I played Little League baseball with a guy that ended up playing in the major leagues. And I've talked to him a few times since then, but I don't know him, really. Know anything about his life. Other than that, we know each other's names because we played Little League baseball with each other. Huge difference there in how I know him versus how I know my best friend. There's a different kind of knowing. And when we know Jesus in that way, that intimate, deep way, I mean, there's joy. But after this, after Paul shares all of this, the fundamentals, the importance of deeply knowing Jesus, he says five words that I think are some of the most undertaught, underutilized, and maybe misunderstood or just skipped over words in the entire letter to the Philippians. Verse 10, check this out. He goes all over these fundamentals, and then he says, I want to know Christ. We're talking about Paul here. So does this mean that the Apostle Paul, who's writing this letter, the one that's dedicated his life to starting churches and sharing the gospel message of Jesus, going to prison over and over again because of telling people about Jesus, that this Paul doesn't know Jesus? Because he says, I want to know him. But the reality is that he does know Jesus. But what he wants us to understand is that knowing Jesus is not a one-time event. It's not a one-time thing. It's not, hey, one day, through grace by faith in Jesus, I give my life to Christ. I step over that line of faith. I believe, I understand, I confess, and then boom, I'm eternally connected to Jesus. Yes. But that is the first step. Step one in knowing Jesus. What he's trying to tell us is that knowing Jesus is a lifelong journey. It never ends. You're always going to have to strive to know him more and more and more. Knowing Jesus. Think about it like a marriage. Right? If you're married, you start to get to know that person through dating, right? Eventually, you get engaged, and then boom, you have your wedding day. One moment, you're not legally connected. Boom, now you're legally married. Connected forever, as it should be. But does that stop the knowing process of your spouse? That one event, we're married, so now I know everything about you. No. It's step one, but it's step one of many. It's a lifetime of learning and knowing more and more and more about your life partner. I've been married for about 15 and a half years, and I still learn new things about Jen all the time. I'm constantly trying to know her more. Yes, I know her really well. But I could honestly say, man, I want to know Jen. Again, it doesn't mean I don't know her. I want to know her more. More deeply, more intimately. I want to understand everything about her. And it's the same thing when it comes to our relationship with Jesus, right? That we can know him. We can come into a connected relationship with him. But it doesn't stop there. It's a lifetime journey of knowing him, learning more about him, serving him, connecting with him for all eternity. He further explains this, Paul does, and starting in verse 12. He says, not that I have obtained all this. See, this is the dude that start in churches. So a lot of people, probably like we do now with pastors and big people that we think are super spiritual, we think they've got it all together. Like that they have arrived and we are trying to get to their level. He's like, no. He's like, no. He says, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal. He says, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He says, I haven't arrived. There's more to know. There's more to learn. There's more to obtain. And I'm pressing on. Doesn't matter what circumstances are going on. The dude's in prison, might be getting ready to face execution, yet he's full of joy. He's sharing the gospel with all the prison guards and the people there. He's writing encouraging letters to churches, to people. And he's saying, I haven't finished. There's still more to do. So I press on towards the goal, towards the prize for which God has called me heavenward, towards the goal of knowing Jesus Christ more and more and more. To understand the joy of knowing. That's where he's at. And that's what he's encouraging each of us to do. To push on. It's not a one-time event. It's a lifelong journey that never ends until you take your last breath of knowing Jesus. And the beautiful thing about that is, he says, we press on, right, to win the prize. You've already won the prize. It's yours. Jesus won that for us. He claimed ultimate victory when he died and rose again for you. So the victory is won. All you have to do is finish. Is press on. Keep moving forward. Keep seeking to know him more and more. And when you do that, you're going to achieve it. But you have to press on towards the prize. The goal is knowing, right? The goal is knowing Jesus. But there's a prize. Verse 20, Paul says, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. There's the prize. The prize is that one day when we take that final dirt nap, we'll be forever connected with him. New bodies, new creation, forever with Jesus. You just have to press on. You just have to keep moving forward. And when you do, the prize is yours. But see, that's our end game only if we know Jesus now. Not know about him. Not say you know Jesus because, you know, whatever setting you're in, that's going to give you some type of cred or whatever. It's not thinking Jesus randomly for something, but not living it out. It's deeply knowing Jesus through grace, by faith, and that's it. And when we do that, we can press on. When we know Jesus and continue to know him more and more, we can continue to press on, and not just press on, but we press on with joy, no matter the circumstance. The joy because we know Jesus. Again, it gets us out of something that we deserve, knowing Jesus. It gives us access to something that we don't deserve, knowing Jesus. It's a benefit, but it's everything. It's absolutely everything. So as you press on, you need to really ask yourself, do I know Jesus? Not just a head knowledge about him, but do I, in my heart, really know Jesus? And can I honestly say that I'm like Paul in that I constantly say, God, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know you more today than I did yesterday. If you do that, and you press on, you will have joy that comes from knowing him. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much, God, that we can actually know you. I think it's something that we take for granted far too often, especially those of us who have known you or been followers of you or have been in church for a long time. We take for granted at times the joy and the mystery and the excitement of knowing you, of constantly chasing after you to know you more and more, to try our best to grasp what we will never grasp here on earth. God, give us the strength to know you more. Give us the passion, the determination to know you more. God, may we have joy that makes no sense just from knowing you. Knowing that the victory is won, and a prize awaits. Maybe you're here this morning and for you, you know about Jesus, but you can honestly say that you don't really know him. You don't deeply know Jesus. You've never stepped over that line of faith. You've heard his name. You've been going to church for a long time. But God's telling you right now, man, you don't know me. And if that's you, the beautiful thing is that he's just waiting for you. He wants to know you. He sought you out. God sent his son to die for you. So that you could know him, that you could be eternally connected to him here on earth and after. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he wants to know you. And so if that's where you find yourself, it's okay. It's nothing to be ashamed of. We've all been there. But if that's you and you know that there's something missing and that you don't have that joy because you really don't know Jesus, man, just walk with him. Step over that line of faith. Confess and believe, if you're ready to be connected to him and to know him in that way, to take that first step of many of knowing him for all eternity. Scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, that you will be saved. It's by grace through faith. Not by your works, not by your religious connection, not by the fact that you grew up in a Christian home or didn't grow up in a Christian home. None of that matters. What matters is that Jesus paid the price for you to be made whole again. And all you have to do is just receive that gift. So if you're ready to do that and step over that line of faith, you just call out to God, just from your heart. Just speak to him. Tell him that you believe, that you want to know him, that you want to be in relationship with him, that you know you have flaws and that you're not perfect and that you don't deserve it, but that you want to know him. When you do that, you'll be eternally connected to him. The prize is yours. And you can do that right from your seat. Or if you have more questions, I'd love to talk with you afterwards. Just hang out in the back and I would love to talk to you. But maybe you're here this morning and you started that journey, right? You stepped over that line of faith. You're connected with Jesus. You know him. But then you just kind of hung your hat on the fact of that one event. And you're no longer saying, God, I want to know you. And now you're going through the motions, playing the game, wearing the mask. We are so good at doing that. And you would speak to them in this moment and that they would be responsive. God, whatever it is that they need to hear from you, God, we pray that you would speak that to them. God, change our lives. Continue to transform us to be more and more who you created us to be, so that we can truly live out a life that is a reflection of yours. To be that living expression of your life. Not for our sake or for our gain or for our glory, but for yours, and so that others may come to know you. God, may we be those people and may we be that church. Father, we thank you. At this time, while Jared and the team play, you just spend some time with Jesus. Still praying and spending time with Jesus, keep doing that. Perfectly fine. This time, the team will go ahead and come forward. We can worship with our tithes and our offerings. Here at LifePoint Church, there's a few different ways that you can give. You can give when the basket passes, or the basket will be out on the table on your way out the door. You can give there, or you can go online to our website, top right hand corner. It's an online giving button. You click it, takes you to a safe and secure place where you can give. But however you choose to do that, we just encourage you to be faithful with your giving and just get in on that action to continue to move the message forward, the gospel forward, LifePoint Church forward, and be able to love more people in our community. So we encourage you to do that and be in on that action. Also, if this is your first time out, thank you so much for being here. As you came in, you'll see on these tables back here, there's some connection cards. They say, let's do life. They're very short, they're very small. If you would just take a quick second and fill that out with just whatever information you're comfortable giving, you can actually drop that off in one of the baskets or hand it off to me or one of the other team members on your way out. We just wanna get to know you a little bit more and connect with you and figure out how we can begin to do life together. So it's just a great way to do that. Also, if you made any decisions for Christ, have any prayer needs, requests, anything like that, the connection card is a great way to do that. So we just encourage you to do that. You can pass that off the same way. So other than that, I don't think we have any announcements. So other than just thank you all. Thank you for being a part of LifePoint. Thanks for doing life with us. I do have one announcement that I didn't send up for here. We are kicking off life groups. So it's something we've been talking about for a long, long time. And we used to have them back in the day, and they are back. So we currently have two life groups going on. So if you are interested in joining a life group, we're going to have a couple more opening up probably the beginning of March, sometime in March, probably middle to late March is actually where it's at. Sorry about that. Middle to late March, we're going to kick those off. So email Daniel Henderson, or you can see him afterwards. His email should be in the bulletin. If not, we'll get it to you. But email him with your interest in groups, and we will start to get you plugged in and connected to a life group. So I'm excited about this. I think it's going to continue to create more opportunities for us to do life together, to encourage each other, and then to go out and truly be the church and take the gospel to Louisville and beyond. So we want you to get in on that. It'll be fantastic. So do that. Also, grab an invite card on your way out, or two or three. Pass those out this week. Get some friends here. Next week, we are wrapping up Philippians chapter 4. So make sure you're here for that, and we will see you guys next week.
All right, thank you, Eddie. Let's stand. We're going to rise together, and we're going to sing. We'll go back to our opener and sing every beat.